Let's turn in our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 17. And if you don't have your Bible, and if you do want to follow along, there's Bibles in the pews. They are King James versions, and what I'll be reading out of here is an NIV, so there might be a slight different translation. I'm going to start at Mark chapter 10, start at verse number 17, and read a very familiar story. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And God's Word says this, starting at verse number 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I ask your blessing upon this scripture reading that was just read. Your words, and I hope they penetrate our hearts, and I pray that they penetrate our hearts and our souls, and just transform us, however we may need transformed here this morning, from the inside out. Father, I pray the words that I'm about to speak will be holy and pleasing to you. You get all the praise and glory for all things. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. The story of the rich young ruler. It's a story that we're all familiar with, right? We've heard it many, many, many times. If you're a church-going person, you've probably heard it preached several times. Multiple times, dozens of times. If you're a Bible reader, you've read it in the Gospel of Matthew, same story in the Gospel of Mark, same story in the Gospel of Luke. So how do I take this story and maybe say it and give another example of a lesson that we can learn in a sort of a different way? And because we all know the lessons that are trying to be learned here and what Jesus is getting at. So I thought, you know, I'm going to look at this kind of in a different way. I want to take some biblical liberties here and look at this story kind of in a different way. So in order to do that, I'm going to have story time with Pastor Mike. Now, every time I have story time with Pastor Mike, it's always a true story, a story that actually happened in my life that happened years ago whenever that I tell you the story and use that as an analogy. But the story that I'm about to tell you is a little imaginary. There's some bits of truth to it, but I had to stretch it in some places to make it fit my analogy, okay? So it's not quite story time with Pastor Mike. It's hypothetical story time with Pastor Mike. So the story goes like this. When I used to work back at GE Genicom, I worked with a lady, her name was Millie. Millie and I and many others all worked in the same department over there at GE, which means we all started work at the same time, which means we finished work at the same time, which means that we all went to lunch at the same time. When we'd go to lunch, we'd go on down into the cafeteria, and we would all eat together, sit at the same table. Millie had this habit of every day when she'd bring her lunch, it would all be eating our lunch there. Right before lunch period was over, Millie would go over to one of the candy machines, put her dollar bill in the candy machine, and press the button of the candy of her choice. She would bring that candy bar back to the table, and time was over for lunch, and then she'd take the candy bar back up to her work area and munch on it sometime later in the afternoon. Every day, Millie seemed to buy a different candy bar. She had quite a diverse taste. One day, Billy said, got up, and we all knew where she was going. She was going over to the candy machine. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to get myself a candy bar too. So I stood in line behind Millie. Millie takes out her dollar and puts it in the machine, and she presses the button, and nothing happens. She presses the same button again. Nothing happens. She presses a different button of her second favorite selection, and nothing happens. Third favorite, fourth favorite, nothing is happening. She's getting no candy bars out of the candy machine. She takes the coin return lever, starts going like this, pumping it up and down. She wants her money back. She's not getting any money back. Millie is pretty frustrated. And she put her hands on her hips and she says, I'm going to find the cafeteria supervisor. So she storms off. I take my dollar bill, put it in, press my button for my Milky Way, and I get my Milky Way the way it's supposed to be. She comes back with the cafeteria superintendent, explains her situation to her, and the superintendent gives the dollar bill back and says, here's a dollar, put it in. I said, well, Millie, it worked for me. So she puts her dollar in, and sure enough, she gets her money back, or gets her candy bar, just the way that she's supposed to. Brings it back to the table. We all sit there. Several months later, there goes Millie up to the candy machine. Now, the one thing about Millie that I forgot to mention is, if you saw Millie, she really didn't need any candy bars, okay? But every day, Millie would buy a candy bar. But this day, several months later, she puts her money in the machine, and she comes walking back to the table where we're all sitting, and she has two candy bars in her hand. And I said, oh, you decided to buy two candy bars today. She said, no, I put $1 in and I got two candy bars back. And I said, well, did you see the cafeteria superintendent? At which time Millie said, why should I? Are you kidding? I deserve this. And that's the end of the story. So how does that story and the rich young ruler, how do they get together? Well, let me ask you this, my friends. What are our standards? What has authority in our lives? And if we have an authority in our lives, how willing are we to submit ourselves to that authority, whatever that is? You know, in America, 21st century America, there's two words that are kind of quickly going out of all of our vocabularies. The one word is authority, and the second word is submission. They kind of go together. If you don't have one, you probably don't have the other. You ever heard somebody say, I don't want to submit to anything in my life, because if I submit to something, that means something has an authority over me. And I don't want something or someone having any authority over me, because who's the authority of their lives? They are. They don't want no authority. We don't like authority, a lot of us. Let's get back to Millie for a second. You see, Millie's okay with the authoritative system that says $1 bill gets you a candy bar. She's okay with that. She's also okay with the system that says $1 bill, if I get cheated out of it, find the supervisor, find the authority, tell that authority to get my dollar bill back. She's okay with that. But every time she gets an extra candy bar, she fails to submit to that same authority to make the situation right. Millie has selective submission. I'll just submit to the authorities whenever I feel like submitting to the authorities. Well, if you're in here this morning, and you are, and if you are a true born-again believer, we are to be submissive to an authority. Amen? You know where I'm going with that. And that authority is going to be the Word of God, right here, what we have here in front of us. How submissive are we to this? Or do we sometimes just have selective submission? Oh, I'll obey the parts that I want to obey, and I'll dismiss the ones that I really don't like, and I'll pick and choose whichever ones I want. Well, if that's the attitude, then obviously you are still the authority of your own life and have not submitted to the Word of God. The rich young ruler, did he have selective submission? Well, kind of in a way. And let me explain. You know, he goes to Jesus and he wants to know one thing. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, of course, Jesus knows all his thoughts and mind and everything else, knows that this rich young ruler guy bases everything on works. What I can do, what I don't do, what I do. And so Jesus kind of plays along with it there and says, well, you know, do not murder, do not do this, do not do this. Honor your father and your mother. And the rich young ruler, he's cool with that. He says this, Lord, I've kept all those things. I've done them all. I've done them all. And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, thinks, I'll take this to the next level. Okay, Mr. Rich Young Ruler guy, why don't you sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me? Not going there, Jesus. Ain't going there. You see, Rich Young Ruler has selective submission. Oh, I'll follow you up to a point, but when you start pushing that envelope, Jesus, well, you know, I got a lot of money. Sell it all, give it to people who don't deserve it, and then follow you? Don't think so. I'm happy with my life the way it is. Oh, he was okay with not coveting and all those other things, and he thought that the law, those laws would get him the right to inherit eternal life. But Mr. Rich Young Ruler, he was picking and choosing. He had selective submission. How about us? Do we have selective submission? Let me just throw a couple hypothetical situations at you here this morning. Oh, we are dead set against lying, false testimony, until we use it to get ourselves out of a jam. We are dead set against stealing. Stealing is wrong. Until, I ran out of 8.5x11 paper at home. I'll just bring a ream home from work. Ooh, that one got a few people. Oh, I am dead set against gossip. Gossip is wrong. We're not supposed to gossip. Until you hear that news about Helen Throckmorton down the road. Oh, my goodness. What she did? Man, give me the phone. I can't wait to get on the phone and tell everybody about Helen. Once the phone is hung up, shame on those people who gossip. Or how about this? Let's get a little more. Oh, I'm dead set against sex outside of marriage. People cohabitate and living together. Until it's my child that's doing it. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. They're doing it. They're doing it for financial reasons. We're dead set against abortion until you get someone pregnant that your wife doesn't know about. We're dead set against homosexuality until you find out that your child, your son or daughter, is caught up in that lifestyle. Then all of a sudden, you start embracing that sin just as much as you embrace everything else. Do we compromise the Word of God for the sake of our selective submission? If there's one thing that I could say is wrong with churches today, we fail to take a stand. We are so shades of gray, it's unbelievable. You know? What happened to the churches where things were black and white? Well, people don't want black and white churches anymore. They want some kind of shades of gray where, oh, let's let anything and everybody come on in. Come on in, bring in all your iniquities. Well, this is a hospital for sick people, amen? And we can get saved inside a church. But that doesn't mean we have to tolerate it. And it doesn't mean that we have to endorse it. And it doesn't mean that we have to condone it. We need to quit being selective about what we submit to. Do we believe in the Word of God or don't we? Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, Joseph, remember, one of the 12 brothers, here he is in Egypt. And he's living in Potiphar's house. As a matter of fact, Potiphar has him in charge of everything in his house. Potiphar trusts this guy Joseph so much. One day, you can read about it in Genesis 39, Joseph's minding his own business, and who walks along? Potiphar's wife. Now, I don't know what Potiphar's wife looked like, and I'm not even going to go there. But what does she do? What does she do? Joe, come here, Joe. Nobody's around, Joe. Nobody's around. Potiphar, he's out with the slaves somewhere. It's just me and you, Joseph. Just me and you. What does Joseph do? He could have compromised his convictions. He could have had selective submission and said, you know, just this one time. But what does he say? He says this, and I quote, "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" You know, if we're going to follow anybody, I think we need to follow the convictions of Joseph and not the wishy-washiness of people like the rich young ruler. And why do I say all this? Really, this is the whole point of this message. Because you have an unbelieving world out there that's watching each and every one of us. And you want to know the one thing that they want to see us mess up? Is to say this and do this. They can't wait for that. They couldn't wait to get that list of the 400 pastors' names that were on Ashley Madison. They couldn't wait. Because all these guys who are doing all this stuff in churches, what? They're cheating on their wives? Oh, those self-righteous Christians. I hope we're not wishy-washy, are we? I hope that we have, when we submit to an authority called God's Word, that's what we submit to. And then say, oh, okay, yeah, it's okay this time. Well, I know we all sin. We all fail. But do we continue in that? Do we compromise in that? And does the world see us doing that? Because the one word that they want to call each and every one of us, I bet you know what the word is. It begins with the letter H. It's a what? It's a hypocrite. It's a hypocrite. You know, Millie, who was a fictitious character in my story, Millie was a hypocrite. Millie didn't mind getting her money back when she was cheated. Did she give the candy bar back when she was not cheated, when she got an extra one? Well, I'll bet you the next time you get two candy bars, you'll give one back, won't you? It's like the person who's going down the road. And this is an actual situation. I live in Verona, Virginia. Of course, Virginia. Verona. And I come in 254 into work. And as soon as you enter the Waynesboro city limits, the speed limit changes from 55 down to 45. Of course, the opposite also is true. When you're going from Waynesboro out, the speed limit changes from 45 up to 55 at the same spot, right there at the Waynesboro city limits. Did you ever do this? So when you're coming into town, as soon as you get to that speed limit sign that says 45 miles an hour, that's when you let off the gas. Ooh, speed limit's 45. I better start slowing down. But when you're going the other way, I see it down yonder. It's the 55 mile an hour speed limit sign. And by the time I get there, I better be doing 55 because it says that, and that's when I can do 55. I bet you won't do that either anymore, will you? Selective submission. I hope we don't have it. Hey, the next time you get two candy bars, give the other one back, okay? It's that simple. Let's go to God in prayer.